Well, let me just say once again, good morning, everybody. And just want to welcome you here and any of our guests that are here. You're here for the first time, maybe, and we just want to welcome you and thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday today. We're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 2 today. And as you're opening that in your Bible, whether it's on your device, I'm reading from the New International Version, or in the pew Bibles that are around you, or you've brought your own, 2 Peter chapter 2 is where you're looking. And I just want to remind you of a couple other announcements, especially the men. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we meet for our bi-weekly Monday Coffee Connect at the McDonald's at Mount Newton. And so we invite you to come. It's open for all the men. And so we invite you to come for a time of sharing together. And I had one more announcement, and I can't even remember what it is now. But it will come. Believe me, it will come. Maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning, but it will come. Let me begin with asking you a question. Have you ever purchased something, maybe through Amazon, that when it was delivered and you opened it, you were so excited, but then when it opened up, your heart fell because it wasn't anywhere near what you were expecting? Well, a number of years ago, in fact, it was at the turn of the last century, Gerber Foods wanted to expand their reach into Africa. But what they did not take into consideration is that most people at that time in that continent were illiterate. And so when people went to the stores to shop, the stores or the markets would have in jars or on cans the picture of what was ever in that jar or can. So when the jars of Gerber baby food were brought there, you could understand the sales didn't go too well. Well, then on another occasion, Pepsi-Cola, how many Pepsi drinkers do we have in the house today? God bless you, you are anointed. Pepsi-Cola wanted to sell their drink with the pitch, "The choice of a new generation." However, it didn't translate well into Cantonese, and it was translated, "Pepsi will bring your ancestors alive from the grave." Now, both these marketing failures were prime examples of how innocent mistakes can lead to a product not representing what's on the package. And when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to what we believe as followers of Jesus, we need to understand that anyone who claims to be speaking for Jesus must represent him correctly, both in his life and in his word. And anyone who does not accomplish this could be dealing with a false teaching or a false prophet. We're in week 2 of our series, Faithful to the Finish, a journey through the book of 2 Peter. This letter written towards the end of Peter's life is filled with urgency and passion. Peter knows he doesn't have much time left, and he wants to make sure that the church is equipped with everything that they need to stand firm in the challenges that they were facing. Last week, we talked about building a life that lasts, a faith that grows stronger over time through intentional character development. We discovered how God has already given us everything that we need to grow in godliness, and now it's our turn to cooperate with him and to build upon what he has said. Today, Peter takes a sharp turn left. If last week was about growth, this week is about guarding. In fact, today's message is entitled, Guarding the Truth. Because here's the fact. Whenever God builds something, the enemy, Satan, tries to break it. Wherever truth is being taught, lies will inevitably try to creep in. And Peter says, false prophets will come, not if, but when. And as you leave today, I want you to leave with this truth in your hearts. In a world full of deception, believers must cling to God's word and be alert. Now, I'm not talking merely about theological debates or doctrinal disagreements. This is about protecting the church, our witness for Christ, and the integrity of our own faith. So as we prepare to read God's word, let's just open in prayer. Father, I pray today, Lord, that you would just take this word and Lord God, just Lord, open our hearts by the Holy Spirit that we would receive all that you have. God, it's a hard word. It's a hard word, but a necessary word to preach today. It's as contemporary today as it was when you, Lord, ordained Peter and inspired him to write these truths. Father, I pray that you would help me. Help me to preach it with clarity, conviction, Lord, without compromise, but with compassion for those who are here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's read together. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held in judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he heard and saw. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Yet, even angels, though they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment from the Lord. Oh, welcome to church, everybody. Ready to go home? What on earth did we just read? It's pretty strong stuff. And I have to be honest and confess to you that while it wasn't a struggle in preparing for this message, if there was a struggle, it was, God, I want to not just preach this, I want to preach it with clarity, without compromise, with conviction, but with compassion. Because I don't think it does anybody's good for me to be waving my Bible and making everyone feel condemned. But we need to hear God's word. And we need to hear what it says. And we need to be convinced that it is God's truth. Because there is in our day, all over the internet, wherever we turn, voices that want to draw people away from the truth of freedom in Christ and put them back into bondage. And it's my desire as we delve into God's word that we will learn to identify how to identify these false teachings and teachers so that we can continue to walk humbly and with conviction according to the word of God. Because he's called us to live in freedom. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And no one is more free than when they are living according to the word of God. Some people say today, oh, Pastor, that's so intolerant. After all, it doesn't matter what a person believes as long as they're sincere. How many have heard that at least once in your life? I hear it almost every day wherever I go. I hear vestiges of, well, this is your truth, this is my truth. But it's all the same, right? Let's just tolerate one another. Let's agree to not make it an issue. But let me ask you this. If you're down by the pier, you're enjoying the water and seeing the sailboats, isn't that awesome to know this time of year there can still be sailboats on the water? I love where we live. And you're standing there, you're watching, you're being thankful for God's creation and placing you where you live, and you see someone walking down the pier with a white cane, dark glasses. They obviously are sight impaired, and they're walking straight towards the edge of that embankment that will cause them to fall, crash right onto the rocks below. Well, let me ask you. Tolerance would say, don't bother. It's their truth. They're walking that way. They believe that's the way to go. Don't try to stop them. Is that tolerance? How many of us would allow that person to walk towards injury and not try to stop them and redirect them to a place of safety? The virtue, our society tells us that tolerance is a virtue. But tolerance isn't a virtue. Truth is. As in Peter's day, we are living at a time when all kinds of truths, ideas, philosophies are being spread. On the internet, you can listen to all kinds of strange and wacko teachings, many even in the name of God. Among the false teachings that Peter addressed are even as contemporary today. Teachers who question the divinity of Christ, his incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation to the Father. Teachers who are proclaiming a divine revelation, teaching that Jesus was not the only way to God, but there are many ways to him. Then there were those who were teaching a twisted theology of grace, a theology theologians today call antinomianism. Basically, it teaches a person can live any way they wish because, after all, God's grace will protect them. Finally, there were false teachings regarding the return of Christ. I'm not talking about whether they were teaching post, pre, or mid-trib. They were teaching that Jesus wasn't coming back at all. And like there was in Peter's day, there is in ours a plethora of teachings that sound biblical but are slight deviations from the truth of the gospel that will lead people to more bondage and even to hell itself. How does a Christian make sense of all? I want to share three principles with you today to help you not only recognize false teaching, but how you can combat it. My message today is brought to you by the letter A. Be assured, be aware, and be anchored. First of all, be aware. Be aware of false beliefs. False teachings are not a new thing. In fact, verse 1 says, there were also false prophets among the people. The word but shows a contrast between true prophets and false teachers. And the phrase among the people is a reference to Israel and all the lies that were propagated by the false prophets. In Jeremiah in the Old Testament, in chapter 23, verse 16, the prophet speaks for the Lord and says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions with their own minds, not from the mouth of God. And then another Old Testament prophet in Isaiah 39 and 10 tells us that God's people often didn't want to hear what was true, but rather what made them feel good. He writes, do not prophesy to us right things. This is fascinating. Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. In other words, don't tell us what God's word says. Tell us what we want to hear that's going to make us feel okay. And just as there were false teachers in the past, Peter reminds us there will be false teachers among you. The word among means that they were among us. The fourth verse in Jude, which the little letter that follows 2 Peter, is quite descriptive. He says, for certain men, and Jude, by the way, was one of the brothers of Jesus. And so if someone's going to speak with authority, I think Jude would have known what he was talking about. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and to deny the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul gave a similar warning in Acts chapter 20, 29 and 30. Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. False teachers like this one secretly bringing in destructive heresies, meaning they smuggle in by the side of in order to lead others astray. Their error is not always readily apparent. The word heresies here refers to that which is chosen or selected. It reminds us that the false teachers would often speak some vestige of truth, but contained with dangerous doctrine selectively sprinkled among the truth. They may use the same words, but they give a different meaning. Reminds me of the movie Princess Bride. Any Princess Bride fans here? A few of us. And that one scene, and the one pirate says to the other pirate, that word you use, you keep using it, but I don't think it means what you think it means. And this is what false teachers were doing. They were using words that sounded right, but they were far from what the truth actually spoke. Then Peter says that these false teachers would end up denying the Lord who bought them. The word deny, which was a personal word for Peter because he himself denied the Lord three times. It simply means to say no to. This kind of teaching soft pedals the gospel, propagating a form of easy believism which cheapens grace and mistakenly teaches that people can believe without a willingness to change their behavior by surrendering to the absolute authority of Jesus. This kind of preaching is bereft of repentance or leaning on holy living. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the World War II preacher who was martyred for his faith and political outspokenness, said it better than anyone else in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. Cheap grace, therefore, amounts to a denial of the living word of God. And the end of all those who peddle error would not be pretty. In fact, look at the last part of verse 1, and bring themselves into swift destruction. We need to be aware of false teachers, and we need to be aware of their faulty behavior. Wrong beliefs will always lead to wrong behavior. It's why my mother drilled into us, you are what you eat, you are what you watch, and you are who you hang around with. We need to be aware that what we teach, what we learn, does have a practical, even an eternal impact. And so even Jesus himself warns in Matthew 24, in the last days there would be many false prophets that would rise up and deceive many, because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. I want you to take of another description that Paul makes. In verse 10, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the flesh. These false teachers not only teach a gospel that does not match the word of God, they live lives for themselves to satisfy themselves. Their lives are anything but an example of what a follower of Jesus, let alone a preacher of the gospel, should be living. And as I preached this, as I studied it, as I prayed diligently this past week, as my intercessors have been praying for me, this truth has ever become more clear to me. And the weight that weighs heavy upon me as your pastor is that every time I stand behind this desk and I preach this word, that I am going to stand before God and give an account for everything that I have preached. Is everything I preach perfect? No, but I'm learning. And I pray, oh God, may I never, ever fall to that place of teaching a gospel that has no recognition of who Jesus is and what you've done. God, help me to preach your word, because it's imperative that we understand your word. These teachers totally disregard the authorities and teachings and traditions of the faith. They would not come under the authority as they feel that they were the final authority. My friends, when you hear someone say, well, I'm speaking this on the authority of Christ, but they're not under authority, take note. Take note. Because we are all to be under authority, for we will all give an account. We need to be aware of fake beliefs, and we need to be aware of fake benefits. We've looked at their message and their morals, and now we see two common methods in verse 3 that false prophets would exemplify: dollars and deception. By covetousness, in verse 3, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. And then, the word covetousness can also mean greediness, and it refers to an insatiable selfishness. Verse 14 says these false teachers have hearts trained in covetous practices. It's all about the money. Now, money is not evil in and of itself. If God has blessed you financially, materially, God bless you. And I would really like to join you on your next trip to Hawaii. But anyway, but understand the focus of these false teachers is that they would gather people around themselves so they themselves could become rich on the back of their followers. God warned his people about prophets and priests who just wanted to get wealthy. In Jeremiah 6:13, everyone is given to covetousness. Now that's interesting. It's a sin that we always must fight against. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Isaiah 56:11 adds this about false prophets. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough. The Apostle Paul made sure his ministry wasn't about money when he declared in 1 Thessalonians 2:5, for neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, for God is our witness. God help us that we don't get so ensnared by the things of this world that we lose sight of your priorities. And with that, there was deception. The word deception means artificial or fabricated, like plastic car bumpers made to look like metal. I'm not going to say any more to that. These words from false teachers are designed to sound solid but are actually artificial. Plastic smiley preachers promising health, wealth, and stealth using deception and flattery for their own financial gain. In verse 18, we read, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh." Here's the thing. Everything that they offer leads to bankruptcy. Financially, morally, and spiritually. There is nothing that they have to offer at the end of the day that can satisfy those words. But yet they sound right. False teachers will look genuine and even use spiritual language, but not for spiritual purposes. Warren Wiersbe said it best. They use our vocabulary, but they don't use our dictionary. They know how to speak Christian. They quote the scripture, but they twist it. They talk about grace, but use it as license to sin. They promise freedom, but bring people into fierce bondage. And that's why discernment matters. My theme verse for today actually isn't from Peter. It's from 1 John. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. How do you test them? Well, four questions. If you're listening to someone on the internet or in person, or you're reading a book, and something just isn't jiving with your spirit, you can't put your finger on it, but you just don't know. Ask yourself four questions. Number one, does what you are hearing, does the teaching this person is teaching, does it diminish Jesus? Christ needs to be central in everything we teach and in everything we preach. He is central, or is he sidelined? Sound doctrine always exalts Jesus, his divinity, his authority, his finished work on the cross, his resurrection, and his soon return. Secondly, does what is being taught promote greed or personal gain? False teachers often use religion for profit. If the message is more about prosperity than repentance, more about comfort than the cross, be cautious. Number three. Does it encourage license instead of holiness? Peter says their way is sensual and full of shameful ways. True grace leads to godliness, not moral compromise. As Titus, one of Paul's associates, writes, says in his letter, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Finally, ask yourself, does it twist Scripture to justify sin? False teaching often distorts God's word to suit human desires. But the Bible calls us to submit to the word, not to manipulate it. For the time will come, Paul says to Timothy, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want. Oh, Pastor, you are being so negative this morning. Come on, say something positive. Pastor, we want to hear something good and something that will help us feel better about ourselves. How important is false doctrine? How important it is, rather, to teach the truth? Two teenage girls went to their mother one day and they asked, "Mom, we want to see this movie. It's a funny movie. It's only an hour and a half long. Mom, all of our friends are going to see it." And the mom asked the name of the movie, and the girls told her, and the mom went on her phone to look up some of the reviews, and she said, "Daughters, sweethearts, I know you want to go, but I can't let you go." "Well, why not, Mom?" "I can't let you go because according to what I've been reading, there is nudity, vulgarity, everything that you know that the Bible says that Christians shouldn't allow into their minds." "Oh, Mom, it's okay. It's only for a few seconds. It won't hurt us." The answer is still no. The two girls went to their bedroom to sulk, trying to figure out a way how they could get to the movie. And then after about a half hour, they could smell the sweet, savory smell of chocolate brownies wafting upstairs to their bedroom. They came down the stairs and they looked into the kitchen, and there was Mom pulling out the brownies from the oven. She said, "I made fresh brownies. Would you like one?" "Would we? Yeah!" So she cut a piece of brownie for each of her daughters, and they began to eat it. As the mom explained, "This is, your grandma's recipe, but I've added a very special ingredient." "Oh, Mom, this is so good. What's the special ingredient?" "Are you sure you want to know?" "Yes, we want to know." "Okay. Well, as I was making the batter, I went outside to clean up after the dog, and I took just a pinch of dog droppings and put it in the batter." "Mom, that's gross!" And they spit out the brownies all over the kitchen, and they said, "Mom, why would you do that?" And she said, "Oh, it was just a little bit. It wouldn't hurt, just a little bit." And that's the danger of false doctrine. It sounds good. It looks good. It appeals to your flesh. But if you're not careful, it can contain elements that could destroy you and thwart your faith. So how do we get over this? How do we respond? We respond by being anchored. We remain anchored to the Word of God. I want you to turn back in your Bibles to chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through humans spoke from God as they carried along by the Holy Spirit. My friends, I cannot say it loud enough, long enough, or sufficient enough. If you want to guard yourself against false teaching, then get yourself in the Word of God. Don't just believe just one sermon that the pastor preaches. Get into it each and every day. Believe it. Understand it. If you don't understand it all, ask the Lord. Ask someone in the church. Seek a Bible study that can help you. Yes, you can ask me. I will do what I can to answer any questions. But at the end of the day, get into the Word of God. Because as Paul admonishes Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Scripture is our anchor. It holds fast when the world shifts. It corrects us when we go off course. It nourishes us like when nothing else satisfies. It roots us in what is eternal, unchanging, and true. How do we stay anchored? Number one, as I mentioned, simply by opening the Bible daily, not out of duty or tradition only, but each day out of a hunger to hear God's voice. Open up the Word. I challenge you and I invite you to find a translation that is understandable for you. There are excellent, excellent Bible translations out there. I use the NIV. There is the Christian Standard Bible. There is the New King James Bible, the King James. There's the New American Standard. There's the English Standard Bible. These are all excellent translations. Put them side by side, or go to the Christian bookstore and find what's called a parallel Bible, which will have several translations side by side, so you can have a clearer understanding of what Scripture is saying. But open up the Word. Test what you hear, read, and believe against Scripture. It may sound right, but what does Scripture say? Which is why, if you can, find a Bible that has a concordance at the back, which are key words that are found throughout the Bible, and see what Scripture says about Scripture. Thirdly, grow in discernment. Not just knowing what you believe as a Christian, but why. Why you believe. And fourthly, for all parents and grandparents, find opportunities to teach your kids and grandkids and disciple them in the truth of God's Word. That's why we gather here. That's why we open the Word every week. And that's why I unapologetically teach verse by verse through the books, so that we together can understand what is God saying to us today. Because as we do, we find His truth, and the truth sets us free. Hallelujah. So stay anchored, stay alert, and stay faithful. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, worship team? Lord, for Your Word. God, would You help us as we read Your Word, as we study Your Word, Lord, that You would, God, help us to understand Your Word. As we read it individually, as we read it together with our friends and our family, as we study it in our Bible studies, God, help us to know and to live Your Word in Jesus' name. I just want to say something else, since I know we live in a technological age, and I'll bring a slide next week, but there are three, if those of you who are techie, I'd like to recommend three other areas that could help you as you grow in Christ. One, it's the Bible app, bible.com, and it offers a plethora of Bible translations as well as choices of devotionals that you can participate in. It's called bible.com. The second is the Way app. It is a discipleship journey that I have been part of for the last 4.5 years with several other pastors across the country. And I want to share that with you. I'll have this all this next week. And thirdly, it's the Bible Engagement Project, which not only gives you Bible lessons, but shares with us what we believe as Christians. But we're going to sing. You might say, Pastor, that was pretty heady this morning. Yeah, I know. But I trust you understand the power of God's Word. Hallelujah. Let's read it. Let's digest it. Let's live it. In Jesus' name. Bev, our country needs healing. From coast to coast to coast. Lord, I thank You that in this hour, in these days, Lord, there are Your people Lord, who are calling upon you right now in cities, in small towns, in villages, in places that we don't even hear about. But Lord, your people are calling on you, and you hear them. And you hear us. And we call upon you today in repentance and say, God, forgive us, heal us, restore our land, I pray, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray as we would leave this place, that we would leave, God, knowing that we have heard from you, your word. Help us to go home and to read through the word. In fact, I would encourage anyone to go home and read through 2 Peter 1 to 22. And if there's anything I missed, let me know. But read it and ask God to help you understand. Lord, help us, Lord, to bring glory to you in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.